wonder and vision. Aren't we a five pair?
This is our home now. I want us to fit in.
Oh, this is gonna be a gas.
Where did you two move from? How long have you been married, and why don't you have children yet?
Our story.
I think what my wife means to say is that we moved from...
Moved from where? Married when?
We did.
No. Why would you think that?
Because you are.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discussing Comics. I'm your host for today, anyway, Clarence, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Whovian and comic historian himself, Cal Jones. How are you doing, man?
You know what? I'm sitting here because this is a landmark occasion, because I've been warning for 4 years on one of the podcasts, other than, of course, Discussing Trek, because you are always the ship's captain on that one. But I have always wanted you, our Lee, to take the reins for an episode. And finally, it's here.
Have I not hosted before? I'm sure I've hosted comics at least one time.
Maybe so. Maybe that was like an alternate reality world that I just don't remember. Maybe.
Yeah, man.
But I'm good. I'm excited to tune in to what we are going to be talking about. So yes, happy to be here. How about you?
I am doing well and, you know, happy to be on and pick your brain, and get this lesson from you about the subject at hand, which is WandaVision. We are 4 episodes into Marvel Disney proper, I'm holding up quotes here, television series on their streaming network, Disney Plus. And we're going to talk about the first 4 episodes, at least do our best to. Are you excited about that, man?
Oh, I'm ecstatically excited. I am loving this. So yes, totally, totally excited.
Yeah. And before we get into the weeds of that, I'll just tell everybody, if you're listening, whatever platform you're listening on, please hit that subscribe button. Leave us a review if you can. 5 stars would be welcome, but any review would be great. And we just appreciate you listening. And if nothing else, you want to do the honors, Kyle?
Would you be hinting for me to say, if you have not seen WandaVision, put us on pause, go out, watch the episodes. There are 4 of them to this date, but probably 5 by the time this goes out. And then come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers.
So WandaVision is the Disney Plus Marvel comic series starring Wanda Maximoff / Scarlet Witch and the Vision. As you stated before, we are 4 episodes in, and we are getting this very different look at these characters and a first few episodes that may have left a strange taste in a lot of people's mouths. So, Kyle, just on a high level, what are your initial thoughts on the first 4 episodes of WandaVision?
Something I've never seen before, and I love that. Forget the fact that it's Wanda and Vision. The concept of the series itself is so unique that I am having so much fun watching it for the concept alone. The characters, yes, and everything else that's going on, but the concept is so cool that I'm really, really enjoying it. What about you?
It's definitely interesting that you mentioned the concept, because it would seem that Marvel is taking a huge risk here, I would think. Very much a style of storytelling that may put a lot of people off who are diving in. And, you know, I want more of the superhero thingy I've been watching, 13 however many movies of. And they get this. They get this very different show that is taking some big artistic choices to do something that's different than anything I've seen anyway, in the superhero universe. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. Kyle, what pray tell would they be doing different with this that people might be up in arms about?
So, you know, you and I made jokes, or particularly I made jokes of the name WandaVision. And I just thought, wow, what a odd name for it. But they are literally going back down memory lane of television. And even the titles, because I was looking at the titles before we started recording, and even the freaking titles of this are homage to television. We've had film before a live studio audience. Don't touch that dial. Now in color. We interrupt this program. I mean,
yeah,
all of those things straight out of classic TV.
They're taking big strides to make it authentic. You mentioned classic. They're doing their best to make this feel and look and sound like the shows that they're trying to mimic, even to the point where they're having these commercials that are even made up in the series as well. I think Lee mentioned the first one. I said I Love Lucy, but it's not I Love Lucy. I think he said, what did he say? All in the Family? Not All in it. Leave the Beaver or something.
I think it has a little Dick Van Dyke show.
Okay, Dick Van Dyke. See, I've never seen Dick Van Dyke, so that's why I have no reference to it. But I was thinking I Love Lucy. But yeah, Dick Van Dyke. And then, of course, by the time you get to episode two, it feels a lot like Bewitched.
Oh, yes.
So we talked about these choices that they're making, black and white, 4:3 aspect ratio, even the tone and the cadences that are portrayed by these actors is very much something that is of its time. If you're a new person, or again, like I said before, a person that's seen all the big bombastic Marvel movies and, oh, I like Scarlet Witch and I'm coming to this and this is what you get. Just speak a little bit about the critical reception that it's getting right now, and maybe just flutterings you've heard across the internets of people's reactions to these first few episodes.
You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not really my thing. I've tried a couple of episodes and just really wasn't what I was expecting, right down the lines of what you're saying. I'm curious when we do part two of this review that we're doing once the entire thing gets finished, because this afternoon I messaged my brother and asked him, have you watched? And he said he hadn't. And I said, please, you know, go watch it, because a couple of weeks ago he had not watched The Mandalorian, and he texted me and said, I watched The Mandalorian. I was like, which episode? And he said, all of them. And I'm about to go to sleep. So this was like 10 o'clock in the morning. He had binged the first two seasons in one sitting. So I'm curious to see what he says, because this is probably not something that I think he would get into, even though he's seen all the Marvel movies. But back to what you're saying, if they're going in and expecting to see Avengers, yeah, it's different. But if you were going in to see Wanda from the Avengers, then that's one thing. I think we're finally seeing the Scarlet Witch from the Avengers.
Like we mentioned before, we get this Dick Van Dyke esque show. We get this Bewitched esque show. I'm not quite sure what the third iteration was. Was it? It couldn't have been Brady Bunch, because there's only a few of them. But we come to a color version of the show as well. Again, like, it's very much rooted in that time. That being said, we're getting these very stylistic shows. And before we get into the part of the series where the dam begins to break, I want to ask you, like, all of these happenings that we're seeing in these different sitcom realities, do you think any of that will play into the larger story we have? And I'll just run through a quick few of the things that I can remember. You have Vision going and having a job, and, you know, the boss comes over. You have them performing this magic show in the next episode. And then you have Wanda having twins in the next episode. And of course, trying to appeal to her neighbors throughout all of these three different iterations. Do you think if anything from those scenarios are going to play into the larger story that they're trying to paint here? As, you know, we'll talk in a bit of after the dam begins to break.
I don't think they in themselves will play in, I don't think. If it's going how I think it's going, the fact of what they are is what's going on. So, I mean, I won't go any further until you get ready to, but I think what they are is what's going on.
Huh. Well, let's just go ahead and get right into it, man. Let's get right into it. A few of the signs where we, of course, we know things are not right from the beginning as viewer, but a few of the signs in sitcom, I'll say, that we see that the dam starts to break, we see the color, the full color toy helicopter in the sitcom world, as well as we see this beekeeper guy, you know, mysteriously come out of a pothole, not a sewer hole, excuse me, in this world as well. The dam begins to break. So your thoughts on what do you believe is going on at this time? Do you have any idea, any clue?
Oh, yeah. So here's what I think. I think after the events of Endgame, everybody's come back. People have reformed. Everybody's happy. Wanda's not. Vision is still dead. He's absent. We don't even really see him. And I don't think we see him at all in Endgame, even though there is a comment that Wanda makes when she says something about she could feel the Vision's presence or something.
Yeah. Yeah, when she's talking to Hawkeye, I believe.
I think we're finally seeing Wanda's true powers manifest, unless there's a big bad that, you know, this is going in a different direction. I think this is a reality that Wanda created. She was grieving. She wanted the Vision back, and she created it in this idyllic way. And what more idyllic representation can you have than classic television?
So obviously displaying some pretty immense power in what if what we think is going on is her creating this world. So just give us a quick synopsis on who Scarlet Witch is, and then follow that up. Give us a quick, you know, blurb on who the Vision is.
Good deal. Well, let me answer it this way. The version of the Scarlet Witch that we've seen in the movies, her powers have been presented differently than the way they are in the comics. What would you say her powers are based on what you've seen in the movies?
Oh, man. Psychokinetic energy, telepathic-esque abilities.
Yep. Yep, that's it. You're right. And that's what they've portrayed. The telepathy is something that she's never had. The telekineticness is something that she's never had per se. Her powers over the years, depending on how powerful they want to make her or how not powerful they want to make her, because traditionally a writer will make her too powerful and they have to back it up because theoretically she could do anything she wanted. Wanda the Scarlet Witch was first introduced in 1964 in the X-Men number 4 as a member of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Her and her brother Quicksilver were introduced at the same time. Over the years, I think she didn't stay with Magneto and the Brotherhood, probably only a handful of issues before she and Quicksilver both joined the Avengers, I think in number 16 of the Avengers. But her powers originally was to affect probability. And it was literally nothing more than she hexes and somebody's about to shoot her and the gun backfires or the gun doesn't shoot or the floor falls in, etc. Over the years, they did storylines where she learned how to do magic and she was taught by this elder witch. Then later on, she is described as being able to harness chaos magic. She's more of a magical being or a magical mutant.
Oh, mutant you say?
Mutant, I say.
But there's no mutants in the MCU.
That is quite true, because in 2015, in order to keep the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the Avengers, they had to retcon and say, oh, the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are not mutants in the comics, so that they could then keep Scarlet Witch in the movie. Interestingly enough, since the X-Men movies had their own version of Quicksilver, hence the Quicksilver in Avengers had to get killed off. Now, none of that is official, but it's quite interesting that at the same time the movie was coming out, the mutantdom of those two characters was stripped away.
Interesting. Interesting. And before you go on real quick, are we open to rumors here? Because I heard a rumor, wink, wink, that the Quicksilver from the Fox movies maybe in this series. Now, I heard this really early, so that might not still be a thing. But there was a rumor pretty early on that he might show up in some form in this series.
I think that would be cool because we've already gotten hints. You know, we've mentioned him for the first time since he died in Age of Ultron, or the character of Quicksilver.
Interesting. Interesting.
So your question part two was about the Vision. Wanda and the Vision met shortly thereafter of he being introduced in Avengers number 57 in 1968. And the two of them, believe it or not, got married and moved away from the Avengers, left the Avengers, and had a 12-issue limited series between 84 and 85. And it saw the couple move into a suburban setting, the Vision and the Scarlet Witch. And in that suburban setting, they gave birth to twin boys.
Interesting. Interesting.
So am I piquing your interest of what's going on now that you're hearing a little of that?
Yeah. I mean, we got the birth of the boys in one of the episodes here, but I'm still kind of puzzled on what's real and what's not, you know? And I guess that's enough to get us into the latest episode, episode four. Do you know the name of it?
We interrupt this program. Literally, they interrupted the programming.
Now, I don't know if they showed it in episode three, but certainly by the time we get in episode four, we see Monica Rambeau getting knocked out of the pocket reality. So before we go into what we see from her in episode four, who is Monica Rambeau, Kyle?
Monica Rambeau is the original female Captain Marvel, predating one Carol Danvers by, I think, almost two decades, because it was in the early 80s. She is the reason I started reading the Avengers to start with. She was on the cover, and it was just such an interesting cover, and I read it. I started reading Avengers after that. So yes, Monica Rambeau, the original Captain Marvel, who was a female.
Yes. And as the movies go, we did see her in, or a version of her character in the Captain Marvel movie, as well as her mother. I forget her mother's call sign.
Photon.
Photon. Yeah.
Which happens to be one of the names that Monica took after being Captain Marvel.
So we've established her character, and now we're seeing her. I think Captain Marvel was 98, I think, or 96. And we're seeing her all these years later in this series, which, if you go by Marvel timeline, remember they got pushed 5 years ahead. So I think it's around 2023, something like that. And we see her fully grown. And once we get into episode four, the dam is broken and we kind of get a real world look on what's going on in these sitcom-esque episodes. And before we go into this real quick, I want to say that the magic show was freaking hilarious. Yes. I laughed my tail off. These are some of the things they do to introduce, you know, we get introduced to Monica Rambeau within this reality. It's just a different person that's in this different reality. You know, as the dam begins to break, we find out there's much, much more to the story.
So let me ask you this before we move on. These episodes, how do you think they were done? Do you think they were done well, or did you just, were you ready to see what comes next?
I mean, I enjoyed them. And I think I enjoyed them for the same reason. I remember Lee talking about it, that he enjoyed it, because they're very much shows or episodes that are trying their darnest to be true to these classic television sitcoms. To see that done with the level of effort and level of polish that they were able to do, I was just awestruck that they could even accomplish it, you know?
And you said it so well, I can't follow up to that, because you said that perfectly. I agree with you 1,000,000%.
Yeah, I enjoyed them for the episodes themselves. Of course, like you, I was looking at the little hints of what might be going on. I loved all the jokes that hinted at the real MCU within these episodes that they kept hinting at. All the little Easter eggs within this pocket reality. I was like, oh, this is really cool, you know, and just well done. Like I said before, we get into episode four and we start with what may be one of my favorite scenes from the MCU, period.
Okay.
So talk about the unblipping, or I forgot what they call it in Far From Home. When Monica Rambeau comes back in this very chaotic hospital scene, thoughts?
I don't hear well, you know that. And probably people who listen to this podcast have heard me say that, you know, I wear hearing aids, etc. So had I not watched a video about Easter eggs, I wouldn't have known something. But the look of it was very cool. I love the look of it. Do you know anything about the audio of when she was coming back?
Yeah, I think I've saw the same spoil or look inside of that. But they talk about, I think that you hear her mother's audio. You hear Carol Danvers' audio as well.
Yes.
Which I think is amazing.
Yes. As far as the story goes, I liked that they addressed what had been going on, and they kind of told you when this was happening, and you don't just see her show up and then they say, oh, well, Captain Rambeau, or oh, Monica Rambeau, and you have to wonder who she is. You kind of get these clues as to, oh, this is the little girl grown up.
I mean, another thing I like about that too is, whereas in Far From Home, which is, I think, canonically or timeline wise, takes place like several months after this scene or after this when they go to Europe, but they do show the blip scene as well. But I think the movie takes place afterwards. But I love how even in that movie, you had to deal with the ramifications of these blipped people coming back. And, you know, other people, you know, being much older than they were when they left in a school setting. But I mean, I think it was very touching how in this short hospital scene, we learned so much. We learned that her mother is gone, you know, and she was at the hospital at her side when she blipped away. And to her, she, like she said, it was like 20 minutes ago, you know, that's just like a hard thing to deal with in this opening scene here.
It was interesting. And it's something that they kind of sugarcoated over a little bit with Spider-Man Homecoming. They didn't with this is the impact. You know, there's a TV show that was on NBC recently called Manifest. And it's about a plane that disappears and the people come back. They haven't aged or anything like that. And they're dealing with the ramifications of coming back. This reminded me of that. And it was interesting to see she's thinking that she took a nap, is told, you know, you disappeared and your mother never knew what happened to you.
So we pretty much find out once Monica leaves and heads toward work, which work is an organization called SWORD. What is SWORD, Kyle, from the comic book version?
So think of SHIELD in space. That's SWORD.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember what the acronym stands for.
Well, they kind of changed it recently because the X-Men have kind of taken it over. So, but it's Sentient World Observation and Reconnaissance
Department.
Division or something.
And I think they changed it in this to be weapon, sentient weapon.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We find out that her mother is pretty much the one who started SWORD, or was instrumental into it being an organization, you know, which I found very, very interesting. So do you think they've been running space missions all this time with SWORD? Why haven't we heard anything about this so far? Or have we in the MCU? We just have kind of glossed over it.
I think for Phase 4, it's necessary because, you know, they kind of put the tarnished reputation on SHIELD with the Hydra thing taking over. And I think they're going more cosmic with Phase 4 and maybe Phase 5. I know there's an upcoming series that's coming to Disney Plus at some point that will deal with something cosmic that I'm sure SWORD will have something to do with. That's in Secret Invasion. So we'll see. So
has Secret Invasion been announced, or is it just kind of rumor?
I think it's been announced. I think it's one of the series that's been announced is coming.
Interesting. And, you know, I like now that we see this organization is established, because I guess it happened before the blip, but you do have this 5-year gap of where stuff could have popped up, and stuff that may have been secret is now a little bit more known because of the events of Endgame. I find it pretty cool and interesting.
Yep. Agreed. Totally agreed.
So we get some really cool cameos in episode 4 as well. We get Jimmy Woo, I think that's the character's name, from Ant-Man, which I thought that was pretty awesome to see him pop up. I'm like, where's that guy from? I know I've seen him on something. And it's pretty cool to see him in this episode, as well as Darcy Lewis, which is a character. I think she was Jane Foster's assistant on Thor.
Yes.
Again, they're going to link to tie things into the greater MCU. And I'm going to let you go ahead. But it's this moment where I finally realized what I was missing from the Netflix shows. I mean, I loved the Netflix shows at the time. But having that cohesiveness with, you know, the greater MCU just makes it much, much more interesting and much, much better.
I agree. And adding a little bit to that, having a single vision, no pun intended, for what you're wanting to do with your stories. Because even with the Netflix things, they had a somewhat shared universe, but they were not, they did not have a single showrunner. They were all the properties and different producers and different whatever. And yes, they played in the same sandbox, but you didn't have someone that was sitting in the sandbox going, okay, this toy is in the left-hand side in the right corner, blah, 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 blah. It's got to be in the left-hand side, right corner, blah, 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 on this show too. But you have that with Marvel. And I think that, like you said, makes a difference.
And at this point, we get the outside view of the bubble. Of course, Monica has been pushed out by Scarlet Witch because she's getting a little too close to the heart of the matter. And she gets pushed out and we get to see the real world view of what's going on. We get a look into SWORD as well as look like various other government organizations coming to the aid of this phenomena to see what the heck is going on and to try to get more information in order to stop it. And that pretty much sets us up to where we are for now. And I'm just going to leave it open for you to interject and kind of lead us on to some of the other points and thoughts you have of where we are in this series and episode.
So let me ask you this. What did you think of these other characters in the city other than Geraldine, who we know as Monica now?
She was awesome. I really hated the lady who was the head of the homeowners association. I don't know if she's going to play a greater role, but she was not on the suspect board that they had up. So maybe her character has more significance, as well as the neighbor who I am
Agnes,
which that actor is on a lot of stuff. I really like that actor, but obviously it looks like she knows more than she's letting on as well, because she's trying a little bit too hard to be Wanda's friend.
Yes. Interesting. And her name is Agnes. Just interesting.
Wait, so who do you know Agnes from prior comic lore?
No, I do not know Agnes. But I mentioned earlier when you were asking me about Wanda, I said that she was trained as a witch. Remember?
Uh-huh.
The person who trained Wanda, her name is Agatha Harkness.
Interesting.
Agatha Harkness, Agnes.
Interesting.
I think it's just too on the nose not to be Agatha Harkness in disguise. Interesting.
And also from our encounter with Jimmy Woo, we know that there was a person in witness protection that was at this Westview town who he lost contact with. That's why he was there in the first place. So there is possibly somebody of great importance already there. So who could that be? It could be Agnes. I don't know. But I think that could be interesting when we find out who that actually is.
Now that one, I'm totally clueless on. Who that is, who it might be Pietro, for all we know. Quicksilver.
Yeah, could be.
Know that.
Could be.
So I have an idea of why this is called Westview. So do you want me to go there? Because this might reveal something. So tell me if you want me to go there or not.
Go there, because I've seen stuff that I want to talk about that are potential spoilers as well.
Okay.
So let's just say right here, if you're listening and you don't want to be spoiled past episode 4 with possible rumors and conjecture, you might want to stop listening or pause, put us on pause and come back later.
Yes, indeed. Westview, and again, this is just my pure speculation, but I'm wondering if the name Westview comes from a comic book that both Wanda and the Vision appeared in the late 1980s called West Coast Avengers, and it was retitled Avengers West Coast. This was written by legendary writer-artist John Byrne, and he returned to Marvel after a stint with DC, where he had reshaped Superman for the post-crisis DC universe. Byrne was asked to shake things up on the title, and he did so by bringing, you know, like I said, Vision and Scarlet Witch onto the team. So, and there are things that happened to them in this run while Byrne was on there. But I'm wondering if Westview has a nod to West Coast Avengers or Avengers West Coast as to a key of where the story may be going or coming from.
So I want you to tell me who is in West Coast Avengers, if you remember, because that's interesting. Because, you know, Jimmy Woo is from San Francisco, right?
Okay. So Jimmy Woo is not in the Avengers per se.
Well, the way I was tying it in, West Coast.
Okay. The other members, none of which we've seen per se in this series, Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, is on the team. Tigra, Hank Pym is on the team. Simon Williams, who is a character tied to the Vision in a fashion, was on the team. And Hawkeye. Hawkeye was on the team at the time.
Interesting.
And a character that we will see in Falcon Winter Soldier called the U.S. Agent.
Yeah, and let me just explain how I was tying it. I mean, West Coast, I was just thinking like maybe his witness protection person might be somebody from the West Coast Avengers. Okay.
In this story, what happened was the best way to shake things up, because you've had Vision, Scarlet Witch married, Vision, Scarlet Witch have children. Well, of course, the Vision is a synthezoid. He's robotic in nature. And they had already said it was her powers that changed probability to give them children, because theoretically, biologically, they couldn't have children. They made it to where Wanda's twins were basically the figment of her imagination or magical constructs that she created. At the same time she finds this out, a government agency kidnaps the Vision, dismantles him.
I think that might be a huge... I saw a video that was kind of explaining what might be going on. So, and this is possible spoilers for the rest of the series, but they were saying that Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen shot a deleted scene from Endgame of where they're like zipping up Vision's body in a body bag. So we get the one scene in episode 4 of where it flips and you see the Vision body with the head being, you know, the stone pulled out of his head for like a split second. So did you think that was really his real body or just a vision that she was having?
I think that's his real body. I think she's animating him. I think she has created, again, she's created this world for herself.
So they're saying that possibly the sentient weapon organization, SWORD, that maybe they had Vision's body before. And that's how it's going to all play in together, that maybe they had Vision's body. Wanda stole it from them. And that's why they're involved. That's why he sent Monica Rambeau to go investigate and all of that, because maybe they weren't supposed to have his body and they were like using it for weapons or something.
Maybe so. Which goes again to West Coast Avengers, because it wasn't Vision had been deactivated. They took him and deactivated him, but still a government agency did something to the Vision in that story too.
Yeah, I just find it all interesting how they're kind of playing together. Do you think the new leader of SWORD or the leader of SWORD is a good guy or a bad guy? Because I think he's a bad guy.
I'm going to say he's a bad guy. I'm wondering if he may be tied to the children, because I think Billy and Tommy are going to play a bigger role in this later part. What they did in Avengers West Coast.
The Power Rangers?
No, the twins.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, Billy and... Oh, that's the kids' names. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Bad joke.
No, the twins, which is part why she goes crazy, is because she loses her children.
Huh. So do you think the kids aren't real?
Yet.
Interesting. Interesting. How can they be real? The dead animated corpse.
Because they were never, well, they were created magically to begin with. And the way they retconned this, and when you say, is the leader of S.W.O.R.D. bad? He may be someone or something in the Marvel Universe called Mephisto, who is a devil type character in Marvel.
Yeah, I've heard rumors of Mephisto as well. Again, a character I know nothing about other than he's like the devil.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That is interesting. Interesting.
In the comics, something had happened to parts of the soul of Mephisto, and he was trying to collect them. Well, the two parts of the soul that she used to make the twins were parts of his soul. Now, obviously they won't go that direct route, I don't think, with this, but I do think if she's not the one doing everything, then if they do introduce Mephisto, he will be responsible for taking the children away if that happens.
Interesting. Interesting. Huh. Yeah. And again, like, this is supposed to set up the next phase of the MCU. What implications do you think it could have for the next phase? Because honestly, what we've seen so far, I feel like I'm watching a movie when I'm watching it, but it is a huge departure, I feel, from what we've seen before.
Your answer to that question is in 2004, in Avengers number 500 to 503, Wanda had forgotten her children for all these years, and just a random comment makes her remember them. There is a story called Chaos, but it's also known as Avengers Disassembled. She remembers her children. She goes completely crazy, kills Hawkeye, kills the Vision, makes the She-Hulk lose control, does all these horrible things, and is trying to live in this alternate reality with her children. It leads to a House of M where mutants are top dog in control, and it ends with her saying, no more mutants, wiping out the majority of the mutants. I wonder if where this is going is somehow this is the introduction of the X-Men to, or the start of the introduction of the X-Men.
Huh. Could it be that something was done to, something has already been done to make us forget about the mutants, and they're going to try to kind of reverse that to tell us there's been mutants all along or something? Is that what you're thinking, or does that go opposite?
Or the fact that we know she's going to be in Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, what if she does something that fractures reality?
Fractures parallel universes.
Correct. And it bleeds over.
So we know about that. We know about, there's been huge rumors from the next Spider-Man movie that we're going to have all of the Tobys. Well, Tobey Maguire, all of the Spider-Man in one movie. They're bringing back the actor that played Otto Octavius. They're bringing back
Alfred Molina.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx as well as Electro. They're bringing him back. I think I may have heard a Rhino rumor as well, but they're bringing all of the Romyverse and the other Spider-Man that I didn't like, Garfield, back into the fold for this movie. And, you know, like you just mentioned, the Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange, who has already hinted at living out multiple scenarios in his head. I don't know if those were actual scenarios or he just kind of envisioned them, but and as well as the hints from Far From Home that we got, which again canonically takes place after these events. So it's kind of interesting how they're going whole hog into this multiverse thing in the MCU. And I think, you know, it sounds like it'd be very interesting. I mean, there's even rumors that Captain America could be coming back in some type of role that I've heard floating around. So, yeah.
So I'm going to make a prediction, and I don't think this movie has been announced yet. I mean, it may even be a TV series. But considering the fact you've got Monica, who is not that old, you've got the younger Hawkeye, whoever she's going to be. I'm wondering if you may have two characters, one called Wiccan and one called Speed, because in the comics, when the children that Wanda had disappeared, they were actually not totally disappeared. She rewrote reality where the twins are born different parents and they're reincarnated into two other characters, one called Billy Kaplan, the other called Tommy Shepard. One has brown hair, one has white hair. She has brown hair. Her brother had white hair. And one is magical. The other one can run real fast.
Interesting.
So I'm wondering if we'll get those two younger teenage characters at some point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because we saw them be born, so we know at least this week that they exist.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's the thing, too, about this series. Up until, well, even now, you really don't. The possibilities are kind of endless. I mean, we kind of know where they're going, but still, we don't know what that leads to in the greater MCU. It could be pretty much anything at this point. What are your impressions on this first, just overall, like this being like the first proper Marvel television series? Do you think it holds up in quality to what we've seen in a movie?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I have one complaint, but it is because of the quality that I have the complaint. So I guess it really isn't a complaint. My only complaint is whenever I'm looking at the airtime and I'm seeing, oh, it's 36 minutes or oh, it's 29 minutes and 5 or 6 of those minutes are, you know, in credits.
Yeah.
That would be my only complaint. But it is because it is so good that you have so many people working on it to make it that good. That's not really a complaint. I'm loving it. I think they are setting a bar, and it's just what Marvel does.
Yeah, yeah. I would have a complaint if the quality wasn't as good as what we saw in the movies. But, you know, if they're going to give me these 30, 35-minute, 40-minute stints of quality that is good as a 2-hour movie that we'd get with them, I'm totally down for it. Totally down for it. Is there anything else that I've missed that you want to talk about before we kind of end up?
No, I think none of us know really yet. We're speculating. None of us know what's going on yet. And I think that's the beauty of this, other than the cinematography or anything like that, is we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. And I think we'll reserve our ratings until we get the full series. But I think from right now, I have to say 2 thumbs up. I'm really loving it.
Yeah, 2 thumbs up. I think it's next episode. I'm not sure, but whenever they have Halloween and the throwback to their comic book costumes is just freaking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that preview. It looks amazing. So, Kyle, we're going to wrap this thing up, man. So, before we get out of here, is there anything you have been watching, listening to, or whatever that you want to plug before we in the episode?
If I were to say something that I'm listening to, because I binged about 4 or 5 episodes of this that I'd been holding for a while, which is Oz9 podcast. So it is comedy in space. And our friend and fellow co-host Lee Shackelford is playing the role of Pluto. I love hearing him when he says, "I am Pluto." So yes, go and search for Oz9podcast.com.
Cool. As for me, I'll just say stay locked into our various shows, including this one and others, as in discussing Who, discussing Trek, and, you know, also Extremely Geeked Out and Tech Edition as well. So, Kyle, you want to take us out of here, man?
Absolutely. I'll be glad to. So, for everyone listening, we are glad that you joined us. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for spending some time with us discussing comics. We enjoyed having you here. And let us know what you thought about WandaVision, like Clarence said. I'd love to know what you think, because I am so much enjoying this. And as always, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.